Welcome, everyone, to this episode of Active Radio KHII 88.9 FM Podcast. We really appreciate you joining us today. My name is John Hurt, and we're going to interview some of the greatest and most influential minds in our community. By sharing knowledge through our conversations, we will try to impart some information you may need about what is happening in the Tularosa Basin and across southern New Mexico. So let's get to the interviews.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's a nice Monday morning. Another beautiful day around the Alamogordo area. I'm Bob Flott. We're back live in Locum Studio. Hey, a lot going on this week around the Alamogordo area. But one of the biggest events going on will be tomorrow's election for the general obligation bonds for APS. We're going to find out more about that this morning. Our guests this morning include Michelle Gill. Michelle is the Michelle Brudeau.
It's okay, Bob. It happens all the time.
I know, but I got to get over that. I'm so sorry, Michelle.
It's okay.
You're going to forgive me.
I will.
Okay, good. I did that last time. You got three Michelles we work with around here.
I know,
here.
You know, at least, all three. More.
Michelle Brudeau, the communications coordinator for our Alamogordo Public School System, and Pam Renteria. Pam is the acting superintendent of Alamogordo Public Schools. So good morning, ladies. Good morning to Pam first. Pam?
How are you, Bob? Thanks so much for having us back this morning. We appreciate it.
It's great to have you back. A lot going on. We'll talk about that coming up. Michelle Brudeau, thank you for being here this morning.
Good morning, Bob. Thanks for having me.
You could have gotten up and walked out on me.
Oh, of course
but you're a nice,
not.
You're a nice lady. You wouldn't do that.
And you're a nice man.
All right. Thank you.
We love you.
Thank you very much. Love you, too. Well, we do. Tomorrow's a big day for us, and I'm excited about it. You know, we do a lot of the remotes around town, as you guys know. And during my remote Saturday at the Cinco de Mayo, a lot of people came by. We were broadcasting. Bob, you know, I hear you talk about the bond election. I know you're in favor of it. You mentioned it on the air. But I've got a concern. And let's bring this up front this morning.
Mm-hmm.
One of the concerns they had was about, in the bond question, it said teacher housing.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That some of the funds could be used for that. Let's get into that. Who wants to explain that? Michelle, do you want to take it?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Okay.
So what we want people to understand is that when you read your ballot, there is a lot of language that is in there that explains how we can utilize those funds.
Yes.
Everything that's in there is what we're allowed to use those funds on per New Mexico state statute. It's not how we plan to use those funds. If you go to allinforourkids.org, on that website, you're going to see there's six areas of investment. Those are our priorities. That is how we plan to utilize those funds. And top of the list is safety and security. That is the number one thing that we want to focus on. If, you know, or when these bonds pass, we want to make sure that our kids are safe, that all of the schools have secure vestibules, that we have more keyless entry and more cameras and things to ensure that our children are safe. So that is at the top of our list, but there's six areas of investment. That's how we plan to utilize those funds. And the language in that bond is just how we're allowed to, but not our priority list.
Right. Well, and we agree with that because that's one of my main concerns. Crazy world. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
Look what happened over the weekend. I mean, just hard to understand. Now, that's one of the six, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have the list of the other five?
Oh, sure, yeah.
You or Pam?
Yeah.
Pam, go ahead.
Well, yeah, safety and security is top of the list. But, of course, we have things like athletics, which, we have such a strong support system in this town for our athletics. We want to make sure that we're we can be proud. And of course, we're going to open the new soccer field
right,
this evening.
Tonight,
we have
yes.
the ribbon cutting for that. So things like that are very important to us. Building systems, which are all the things that we don't necessarily see, but we're very uncomfortable if they're not working correctly.
Right.
Internal learning environments. We have some older schools that need new lighting, new flooring, new furniture. Some of it is, you know, decades old. So those things need to be replaced. Technology is always ongoing. We can't avoid that. We have to make sure that we have money to update everything as it becomes new and current.
Well,
and
for our graduates to be competitive.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
Mm-hmm. In this worldwide workforce today,
mm-hmm.
not just here in the United States, worldwide workforce, they've got to have the technical knowledge to move up in that competitive environment.
That's 100%. Right. And you know, it's funny because I always say, think about how quickly we've seen things change in that aspect lately with AI and the advent of those things. Think about a student who's born now, in 10 years, what technology will look like for that student. And so we have to be cutting edge. We have to stay on top of that stuff for our kids. And then outdoor learning areas and playgrounds. Kids need to be outside. We have beautiful weather here. Mm-hmm. Those are things that need to be updated. They need to be able to want to go out and run around and burn some energy, or just sit and learn something during the day.
Yeah. Let's talk a little bit about the, and we might have done this the last time, but I'm so impressed with the Holloman Elementary School, you know, about that environment that students can go to. I mean, inside the school, there are water dispensers there so they can fill their own water bottle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that might be a small thing, but to a student, that's probably pretty important to that student.
Well, we want to make sure that kids are healthy and hydrated and fed during the day. They learn better when they have, you know, access to those things. And that's part of that indoor learning environment, right? We want to make sure that they don't have to worry about whether or not they're going to have lunch or that they're going to have fresh water to drink. Mm-hmm, so the Holloman School is a wonderful jewel in this setting that we have here. And we're really excited to for that companion middle school to be built with that grant money.
Nice open environment, big windows to look outside, watch the world if you want to. Also, don't you have there some outside study areas as well?
Yes, and there'll be more. Once we, that campus will have outdoor learning areas that are shared when the middle school is built, but there is some beautiful area there already for the kids to use, and they have terrific new playground, you know, with the nice mushy ground cover so you don't get hurt, and a little zip line. It's just fun. The kids can really get out there and enjoy their time outside.
Well, they do have a little zip line.
Oh, it's so cute.
About how long is it?
Oh, gosh, I don't know. 25 feet, maybe?
Yeah, something like that.
Really?
Yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah. It is neat. But, you know, wouldn't it be nice if all of our elementary schools had stuff like that?
Yes.
And that's what this special election is all about. We want to make sure that all of our kids at all of our schools, especially our elementary schools, have that green space, have those updated playgrounds. You know, if you all are driving by North or La Luz Elementary, you can see that there isn't green space for those kids. There's a lot of dirt and rocks and it's not very attractive and it's not fun, right? So for those people that live in that area or people that drive down that main road, North Florida is a main road, and wouldn't it be nice, wouldn't it look great for our community just for that property to look better?
Oh, yes.
And
it
would be wonderful for our kids to have that green space to run around it and enjoy. They deserve it. Every child deserves to have that in at their school. And that's what this is all about. This is making sure that we have funds so that we can do that.
You know, the Senate Bill 9 and House Bill 33, with the continuation of those two bills, that is not going to be used for new construction. That is for improvements mainly only, right?
Mm-hmm. That's correct. And we're really excited about that because it's been a while since we've been able to reinvest money like that into our existing schools. We've been building schools, which is great, but the older schools have needed some uplifting, and this will allow us to do that. And the great thing is we can start right away.
Yes.
You know, once this bill passes tomorrow night, we are able to start this summer with these improvements, and that's exciting.
I like the way you said that. Michelle mentioned that before, and the last time we visited, I believe, about the fact that we can get started on these projects right now while the kids are on summer break.
That's right. And imagine if you were a student at North Elementary and you got to come back and see some improvements happening at your school in the new year, that would make you excited to come back to school.
Well, another positive aspect of what's going on with the Alamo Gordo Public School System is the federal government just funded a new middle school out of Holloman Air Force Base with a grant of $59 million, a grant that does not have to be paid back, which means no taxes for those of us here in the Alamo Gordo area and everything else. But when the government comes up with a grant of $59 million to build a new school for the Alamo Gordo Public School System, that tells me the government sees good things going on. They see this is a very important community for us. Holloman Air Force Base is important. We need to support them to get this construction underway. And that speaks highly of the success we've had in the Alamo Gordo Public School System.
I agree. And we're really grateful for that money because not only will it be a wonderful kind of you know, kind of feather in the cap at Holloman Air Force Base, but all of our students in the district will be able to use that. And $59 million is a lot of money for a middle school, so there are some great and innovative things that we can do out there that we wouldn't be able to do if we were building a school with the state with that match. So our kids are going to benefit with the technology that we're going to be able to bring into that school. Every student in the district will be able to benefit from that. And it is nice to know that our partnership with Holloman Air Force Base is yielded something that we can use for everyone. I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, because if you look at the progress we've made in the Alamogordo Public School System over the past, 5, 10 years or whatever, with the new construction projects going on and everything else within the school system, a parent that's going to be having children go into the Alamogordo Public School System has to say, you know, they got the security out, you know, under control. They're working on that. One of the top concerns. They've got good educational facilities. You know, if they're thinking about moving here, that could be the factor, because I know when people, especially Holloman Air Force Base, one of their main concerns is the education of my son or daughter. Mm-hmm. And that's very important to them, Michelle.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we are so proud of all that we've been able to accomplish with the support of our community and our partnership with Holloman Air Force Base and just to make that happen. And as Pam said, this is going to benefit all of the students in our district. You know, the things that we're going to be able to do at this campus are phenomenal. So, you know, one of the things I wanted to mention, too, is people are asking, they think this is a new tax. We keep saying there's no tax rate increase,
right.
And people come up to me and say, Michelle, I see it. It's right here. It says it right here on my ballot. Impose a tax of. You're saying it won't give me a tax, but it says it right here. Well, I just want to remind people that, as you said before, these things already exist. SB 9 and HB 33 has been a tax that our community approved many years ago, have voted for to support us so that we can do infrastructure and capital improvement projects and maintenance on our buildings and improve our technology. Our community has supported us, and we are just asking for our community to renew that support again by reapproving these mill levies so that we can continue to do all the good work we have been doing.
As you've been having some forums and everything else, and you talk to a lot of people, you both do, we all do, what, besides the housing situation, what would be some other situations that you might want to address regarding the continuation of both bills?
I think one of the things that's been something that people have wanted is to know exactly how that money is going to be being spent.
Right.
Like, what is my school going to get, you know, if I vote yes for this? And what we've been able to say to people is, we can't tell you exactly right at this moment what that's going to look like, because when we're going out, say we want to put secure vestibules in several of our schools that need them. Well, we want to make sure that we're getting bang for the buck for that. So what is that going to look like? What is the timeline for it? We want to make sure we're being good stewards of this money and spending it correctly. So we can't itemize, you know, North's going to get this exactly at this date and La Luz may be getting this exactly at this date, because we have to make sure that we're managing the money well. But that doesn't mean we don't know exactly what those priorities are at each individual school.
Mm-hmm. With some of the forums you've had and everything else, and just talking to people, and sometimes our best information comes from somebody we bump into in town, you know, and everything else. What were some of the concerns you might have heard?
Well, definitely that was one of the biggest ones we hear from people, even people that are in favor of this. They want to know, though, how much money is my child's school going to get out of this, which we understand. As Pam said, you know, we don't know what we're going to have until all this passes and guarantee that, and we want to be able to utilize those funds as best as we can to ensure that we are getting the best bang for our buck. And so once this is over, we do have the priorities list, and that's why we have a survey out there. We've done two surveys, one with staff and teachers to ask what their priorities are. We've done one with parents and guardians, and there is a survey out there now, and we ask our community to please take that survey. We want to know what your priorities are for our schools. We've seen right now safety and security is at the top of the list, but if you have any interest interest and caring about where this money is spent and how it's spent, you know, and how we rearrange the, you know, the priorities of these six areas of investment, please take that community survey. Go to allinforourkids.org, scroll down a little bit. It says take our survey, click on that, and you can give your input, because maybe for you, curb appeal is the most important thing, because you have properties that are near schools right. that aren't really looking so great, and you want that area to look better. So that's your priority. That is fine. We want to know what our community's priorities are for these funds so that we can make sure that we take that in our five-year master plan, maintenance master plan, and all those other things, all the other input we've received, to make sure that we're spending this money the way the community sees that we should be, in the way that's most important and efficient for our schools.
Well, let's take a look at the high school. Let's say we had to replace the HVAC system there. Mm-hmm. This might be a question for Justin. But to replace that system, and there's more than just one, mm-hmm. to keep that school comfortable, any idea of what the investment might be?
Pam? Gosh, that's a definitely a Justin question.
Right.
But it would be very expensive to do that. I know just at Desert Star, replacing the filters there for their system every year is about $25,000.
Right.
So these things are not inexpensive to replace or even repair. Sometimes it does take some thoughtfulness about how that money needs to get spent. What the other thing that kind of is companion to that is, we haven't been able to take money that we've gotten from the general obligation bond or the mill levies and reinvest those right back into our community until this bond cycle. And we're excited about that, because we have experts in every area in this town. We want people to be working. We want to make sure that we're doing local work, because they know what our community needs. And so we're going to be able to take that money and reinvest it right back into this community, which is a fantastic thing, boon for everyone.
Oh, no doubt about it. Mm-hmm. Contractors, other kinds of businesses and everything else. And Michelle Brudeau, from being with the city of Alamogordo all those years, is it still accurate that the buck spent here turns about six or seven times?
Yes, absolutely.
Before it leaves the community.
Absolutely. And that was important to us, too. You know, when we do these big projects, like we said, the two mill levies, I've always been for infrastructure, you know, for maintenance on our buildings and our
right.
technology. The bond, that's the one that we're using differently this time, because it's always been our match for these new schools in the recent years. And so to be able to take this $15 million bond and reinvest it, I mean, $15 million does sound a lot, and it is. It's going to help us do a lot of work, but there's a lot of work to be done. Things are very expensive, so to be able to reinvest it in our schools and hire local people, especially getting them going right away. I mean, you know, after tomorrow, it's exciting. It's exciting to think that we can get all those plans, start solidifying all of these plans, and start moving forward.
You know, it's much easier to complete a facility change mm-hmm. when there aren't any people in that building.
What, Bob? Are you kidding? Of course. I know. Isn't that?
It's incredible.
Yeah.
You know, when I bought the building up there in Scenic Drive, I looked at moving some stuff in it right away and then remodeling it. And I'm going, no, that's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Got to remodel it first, get it all set to go, and then start moving everything into it. And that's the best way to do it.
That's right.
Well, and we have such wonderful custodial staff that works all summer to get schools prepped for the next year. They're amazing. They have, and so for them too, you know, it works in conjunction with all of those things that are happening in our schools all summer long. We're busy all summer long.
Right.
It's wonderful. But that this way we can make sure that, you know, we're absolutely able to go into schools and do the most work that we can without having to impact other people.
Yeah. It's nice to not have to wait till summer of 2024. You know,
right,
our kids deserved improved security and better playgrounds, and our teachers, they deserve that now.
Yes.
And so being able to get this bond and mill levies taken care of right now will allow us to get to work and get those things happening. So yeah. We're excited.
And the way prices have been escalating, something that might cost $100,000 today to replace, next year, a year from now, could be $125,000.
Exactly.
A little more, a little less, because everything is going up. Well, I know one of the big things I'm looking forward to coming up is high school graduation and everything else. Give me an update on the students there, would you, Pam?
Oh, I'm so excited about high school graduation. And, you know, actually, I don't know. it's always the culmination at the high school, but we do have like our kinder and our fifth and our eighth grade students that are also engaging in graduation ceremonies, so that's exciting. But the high school graduation is May 26th at 7 o'clock at the Tiger Stadium. It's always such a beautiful setting for graduation.
Yes.
The kids look so beautiful in their regalia, and we're just really looking forward to having a wonderful celebration for them this mm-hmm. year. And
kind of a normal graduation
yes,
ceremony, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic. You know, I've been in the district 26 years. I don't think I've ever been bored one night when we've celebrated those graduates. So I'm really looking forward to it.
How many graduates do we have?
That's a good question. I don't know exactly. I would say it's somewhere over 300, mm-hmm. probably around 350. Mm-hmm. But I would have to check and make sure what that number is. But that's about typical right now.
Yeah. Now, a change that happened a couple of years ago, I believe, was the fact that Academy del Sol was a separate high school. Now it's part of the Alamogordo Public School System in the main campus.
That's cool.
And everything else. So you'll have a one graduation for all the students.
Yeah, it's wonderful. You know, Academy del Sol was such a wonderful, rich opportunity for some of our students at the time that they needed it. But with
right.
with technology moving along like it did and all of those things, we were able to reintegrate that back at the high school campus. And that's been wonderful, too, to have that kind of back at home.
Mm-hmm. Right. Now, do we have any special speakers coming in for that?
Well, we haven't quite secured anyone yet, but we do have a couple of people in mind.
Very
so
good.
We're looking for it. We'll let you know about that, Bob.
Very good. I'd like to know about that for sure. All right. Any final comments from Michelle Boudreau?
Well, I would like to remind everyone that it is too late to put your ballot in the mailbox. Do not try and mail your ballot.
Yeah.
So if you still have your ballot on your kitchen table and you haven't turned it in, you need to fill it out properly.
Yes.
And then bring it down to the Otero County Clerk's yeah. office. There is a box outside there, a secure box you can put it in, or you can walk right inside
yeah.
to the county clerk and hand deliver your ballot. But it's too late to put it in the mail. Don't put it in the mail. Just walk it down there, drive down there, and make sure you turn it in because it's due by 7 p.m. tomorrow night.
Yeah. And read that ballot thoroughly before you vote. Don't put a check mark by those ovals. That'll void the ballot.
Yes.
You need to fill it in according to the sample.
Yes, and then put your ballot in the envelope,
right.
in the secure envelope. Put that secure envelope in the other envelope.
Right.
Sign that outside envelope,
yep.
which is covered, you know, so once you sign it and do that, there is a little place where they peel back to see if you signed it and everything, but, you know, that's not visible to the public. But sign it, put your birth on there. They want to make sure that you are the right person who is attached to this ballot because it has your name, it has your barcode
yes.
on it. So make sure you put, if you have two people voting, make sure you put your ballots in your envelopes, sign it, seal it, deliver it, get it done.
Yeah. Pam?
I just want to thank you so much for letting us come and visit with you. I'm looking forward to not only tonight with our ribbon cutting for
yes.
the soccer field, but tomorrow night when we have, you know, the live celebration of
right.
the end of this bond election. So
I'm
thank
really
you so
looking
much.
Forward to that,
yeah.
For sure. All right. Michelle Boudreau, thank you very much, ma'am.
Thanks, Bob.
Thank you, Michelle Boudreau.
Get it in your head. Well, we know you know it. You know you know it. My husband teases me about that.
Pam and Tia, thank you very much. Say hello to your hubby for me.
I will. I'll do
that. Say hello to your hubby for me.
Will do.
All right. Very good, ladies. Thank you very much. We'll see you this afternoon.
Okay.
See you
then. And
then
tomorrow. Well, that's it for our discussion this morning. We do want to thank Michelle Boudreau and Pam Renteria from APS for coming in and going on Live and Local with us.
We are Active Radio, 88.9 FM, KHII Cloudcroft, 100.5 FM Alamogordo, and 102.3 KEDU Ruidoso.